Go behind the wheel and under the hood on everything automotive with high-speed stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey everybody, welcome to High Speed Stuff. I'm Scott Benjamin, the auto editor here at HowStuffWorks.com.
My name is Ben Bolin. I hang out with Scott and I write some videos for our website.
Fantastic.
I just made the first paper shuffling noise.
Did you really?
Like, yeah, I'm
going to make several because I've got kind of a mixed up list here, but it's worth it.
Well, our producer today, Matt, seems that he's okay with that, that paper shuffling. If we can get away with that one.
He's unwavering.
Well, let's shuffle some papers and make some podcast history.
Sounds good. And you know what? We've got a listener suggestion today for our podcast. And I think, you know, this is one that came in from a listener that we've had a lot of back and forth with this person over the last year and a half or so. Mm-hmm. And his name is William. And William is from New Zealand. And he didn't give us his age this time, but last time he did. He said that he was 11 last time. So I'm going to say he's 11 or 12.
Right.
So William, he wanted to know if we could do a podcast about, he said actually the cars that we drive and then our top 10 dream cars.
Huh.
And this one was too good to pass up because as simple as this sounds, top 10 dream cars, I think that's interesting. I mean, that's a quick one for us to do and kind of get some stuff off our chest, you know, we've been thinking about.
And we're people like anyone else. We love talking about our opinions.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
All right, you want to kick it off, or you want me to?
Well, I can do that, and we can count them down, I guess. Oh, you know what? Should we mention our own cars? We already did.
Most people know about our cars. Okay, yeah. Very well. I drive a Monte Carlo, and I do my best with it. I've got a couple things I need to fix on it.
Yeah.
It is a land yacht. It's a boat. You should see me parallel parking, which I can do.
Fantastic.
That's
the second time I've used the word fantastic in
this episode. Well, the thing is, I know it sounds like I can't drive when I say that, but for people who have not been to downtown Atlanta, that's kind of tough.
Mm-hmm. Hard enough to drive my car. I've got a little Honda Civic, a hatchback. It's a Civic Si, and I love it. It's got a lot of necessary repairs coming up, but it's fun stuff too. I can upgrade as I go, so I'm kind of looking forward to some of the upgrades that might be happening this summer.
And it's got a pretty good pickup, too.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun to drive. So it's a sporty ride, and I enjoy it. So
those are what we have.
William, that's what we drive.
That's
there you go.
Drive.
I think most everybody probably already knew that at this point. We've mentioned these several times. Now, I've got a list here of my top 10 cars, right? And Ben also has a list of his top 10. We'll go through them in true top 10 fashion where it's 10 to 1.
Yep.
I have to tell you way ahead of time here that I struggled with this after I built my list. You know, I picked out 10 that I liked a lot. And then I've been shuffling these all day, so my notes are a little bit scattered in that I've got them spread. You know, I had it stapled together, and I've got them 1 through 10, but then I changed the order two or three times.
I feel you on this one, man. I went through the same stuff, and I actually, some of mine are not as specific as they were originally.
I want to say that my number one pick is truly my number one pick, though, in this. I really do think that this is the car that I want the most. My number...
You're number 10?
You know, number 2 through 10.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like I could juggle these in any order, and it wouldn't matter to me.
Right.
The number 1 is the one that I really want. So when you get to that, and it may be something that you might not expect either. So I'll pique your interest with that and saying that probably wouldn't expect this out of me.
Awesome.
I don't think so anyways.
Awesome.
Okay.
We will find out.
All right. So top 10 list. You ready? I'll go first?
Yeah. Will you do the honors?
Top 10 list. Number 11.
Wait.
What?
Really?
Yeah, I couldn't narrow it.
Okay, no, that's fine. Number 11.
I told you, I added an 11th at the end.
That's awesome.
Okay, I'll go with number 11.
Yeah, go with number 11.
we'll call this honorary mention.
This is asking a lot from you to narrow it down to 10. I know that.
Yeah, I know it is.
Okay,
it
really honorary is. Mention. That's good. That's good.
I would say that I would like a late 60s to early 1970s Porsche 917.
Oh, yeah.
A race car.
Yeah.
A race car. Now there were street versions of this that were built, but in 1970, I'm talking about a race car. I want a race car because... in 1973, towards the end of production here for the 917, they had something called the 91730, and it looks dramatically different than the early 917s, and I love that design also. But for the pure power of the 1973 version, you got to go with this one. It had a 5.4 liter turbocharged engine that had at mild boost had 1100 horsepower. And then when it when it went up, it mild boost. Then it went up to full boost. It had 1,560 horsepower, and this is a, I mean, an unbelievable race car. This is back in like the Mark Donohue days of racing Porsche. An original version of this is somewhere around. Here's the problem with this: an original version is somewhere around about $2.5 million.
Oh, but these are dreams, man. Don't worry about the price.
All right, but. That's my number 11 pick on the top 10.
Well, why don't you go to number 10, too?
Okay.
Make our numbers.
I was going to screw that up. Oh, no. And you know what? That's the first one that I had changed here, so I got to find my number 10 in my list here. You want to go ahead and go?
Yeah, I'll go. This is a little bit of a weird pick. I'm a huge classic car fan, and my number 10 vote is for one of the more rare and hard to find, the 1948 Tucker sedan.
Oh, that's a good pick.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, very good. Very good.
It's just growing up, I heard my dad would talk about it, and that's part of a sort of an ongoing conversation. And I'd really like to just have one. As if I had that, I think that I'm not a materialistic person. I'm pretty sure I could die happy.
Yeah, really?
That afternoon, I'd want to drive it at least once.
But, of course, yeah.
Yeah,
of course.
But yeah, that's
an excellent pick. Thanks, man. Tucker. Good pick. Not on my list.
Not on your list.
Not on my list. It should have been. Maybe that was number. maybe that was number 12. I found my number 10.
What is it?
Number 10 would be a Lotus Elise Siege version. Oh. The 240 horsepower, 1.8 liter, around 2,000 pound sports car. I think this may be a daily driver type vehicle, though. I would love that as a daily driver. I know it's a little rough, a little brutal on you because it's really a track car, bare minimum type car. But that's what I love about it, that it's just, you know, down to business. I like it a lot. I love the looks of it. I love the simpleness of it, and it also goes 0 to 60 in about 4 seconds, and that helps. And I don't take this to, you know, meaning that I can go out and write a check for this or anything, but. Relatively conceivable that you could afford one of these. $66,000.
Okay, so with some planning.
Yeah, with planning and some time and, you know.
Bring in some sandwiches in.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, I mean, a lot of saving and a big car payment. I could have a Lotus Siege.
As your daily driver.
As a daily driver, yeah. That would be cool.
Are we moving up on this? I'm actually going to switch some of mine. And I'm going to say number 9, Bluebird school bus. But not any, just listen.
Yeah, you know,
hear me out.
Okay.
When I was living in Central America, they have these things, chicken buses. And they're heavily modified school buses. And they're really cool. And I would like one of those.
Are you talking about the old silver? The silver buses, or are you talking about a big yellow school bus?
They're not yellow anymore, man. They're painted, but
Yeah.
Bluebird is that Canadian company that makes all of those buses.
Because I have seen some cool Bluebird buses. I admit, I like the old bus designs.
I might, you know what, if I could go, well, we're dreaming, right?
Yeah.
I would go for one of the Bluebird charter buses.
Oh, very nice. It's cool. Yeah, I agree. Another good pick, man.
Oh, thanks, man. Fantastic. Thanks, man. Yeah. I'm just lucky that I didn't put the Elise down, too. I was so close.
That's okay if we could have the same on the list. Number 9, I've got the I'm going to probably screw up the name.
Okay.
And it's not the Koenigsegg.
Oh, okay. I thought it was.
It's not that one. It's number 9 is a okay, here I go. So I'll get letters.
Here we go.
Pagani Zonda.
I read about that.
I think I got it right. That. $667,000. You know, give or take. Just simply because it looks like it's loaded with gadgets and angles and grills. And the exhaust is the coolest thing you've ever seen. It's in a big circle in the back with four pipes coming out. Just a fantastic looking car. That's the only reason I picked this one. I know nothing about the stats on it right now.
Yeah.
I just think that is a cool looking car, and I, you know, as far as exotics go, I'd love to have
that. It's amazing. Did you see the pictures inside with the driver's seat, the way it's set up?
No.
Oh man,
it's pretty good stuff.
It's awesome.
Yeah, I know some of these have embroidered seats and everything, and they're just beautiful, beautiful cars.
Are you ready for my number 8?
Yeah.
Okay. Now I'm moving them all around my head. Okay, I'm gonna say it: Tesla Roadster.
Very good.
They got me.
Very
they
good.
Got me.
It's an electric car.
It is an electric car, and I didn't choose it just because it's electric. Mm-hmm. I chose it for, I mean, if we're dreaming, right?
Sure.
William asked us to our dream cars. Mm-hmm. I do like the fact that it's electric, but I also like just the design of it. From an aesthetic
perspective.
I do
too. It looks a lot like the Lotus Elise.
It does.
A lot like it. It's
get
very,
out of my head.
Very yes. close, yeah.
It is very close.
Yeah, that's a cool car. That's another good pick.
And what about you, man?
Ben, I get... Man, that's a good pick.
Well, you know I do work on a car show,
Number eight. Yeah, I know. I don't know why I'm so... I shouldn't be surprised. I guess you know your stuff.
All of my other ones are Honda Civics.
All right, my number eight?
Yes.
The 2010 Chevy Corvette ZR1.
Really?
Yeah, the ZR1. That's an awesome-looking car. I've seen exactly one on the road.
You've seen one?
I've seen one, and that's
it. Is
it
here in Atlanta?
It is. It's black windows, black wheels, low, wide car,
yeah.
And it sounds like a pure race car. It crackles and pops, and mm-hmm. the brakes squeal because they're carbon ceramic brakes, and this car is unreal. It's beautiful. I mean, I don't know if it's the color combination and the dark windows and the dark wheels and everything, but... This looks like Darth Vader's car. It's really, really cool. And I don't know, my mouth waters every time I see this thing. I really want it. But the problem is they start around $110,000. So that's a pricey Corvette, I guess. I mean, Corvettes are up there, but...
Yeah, but
that's
it's kind of high.
Breaking the $100,000 mark.
Yeah.
Come on, that's pretty expensive. But you do get 638 horsepower and a 205-mile-per-hour top speed. So there you go.
Nice.
Not that you're ever going to be able to use that, but.
Well, I mean, until you get caught, you can use it all the time.
Fantastic looking car.
We are not condoning speeding.
No.
I'm sorry.
No.
I forgot.
What?
I got ahead of myself.
Yeah.
All right. So next up for me, I've got, let's see, that would be number seven,
number
right?
Number seven, yep.
Okay. this is a little vague, and I went back and forth on this. An Aston Martin in any of the James Bond movies.
Oh, oh, this is vague because it goes all the way up to present day Aston Martin, right?
The and Vantage. I watched in preparation for this last night. I watched some clips.
Did you?
And I couldn't pick. So I'll be happy with any of
you
them.
You know what? I also like Aston Martin. I agree. Any year Aston Martin is fine with me.
Mm.
Whether you're talking about the classic version that was driven way, way back, or you're talking about the current Aston Martin.
I'm talking from the one from the. I'm talking from about Casino Royale all the way back, but you nailed it. My two top contenders are the very early ones.
The silver one that he drove in just about every other film, right?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, very nice.
God, it's a good
very
car.
Nice. Very nice. My number seven pick?
Yes.
A 1927 to 1931 Ford Model A pickup truck.
Really?
Yes.
Good call,
yep.
man.
Yep. I have always wanted a Model A pickup truck, and I don't want it as in like a mint condition museum car. I want something that I can drive that I could actually throw some pine straw in the back if I wanted to, and use it to work in my yard or go to the Home Depot and pick up a lawnmower, whatever I need to.
Oh, I'm sorry, I got to interrupt.
Yeah,
because other people don't know it because this is an audio podcast. Guys, Scott has this really weird habit of carrying pine straw around. So that would probably
I was looking
work
at you
great.
Like, what did I say? What did I say? No, I don't have. Usually I just put it in a backpack or something. But I'd like to have a pickup truck to haul it around. And I think a Model A Ford Model A pickup truck would be the way to do
it. Yeah. Oh, you brought pictures, too.
Oh, yeah. I've got pictures with them because I wanted to be inspired as I speak.
Yeah, that looks.
And you know what? These were in color. I just couldn't get the darn printer to work.
That's still I am with you on that. That's a
and,
great
and I'm
choice.
Talking like ballpark for this one. See, this is very doable here. It's not a daily driver, of course,
sure.
just because of the vintage vehicle and the speeds and everything. Around $10,000 or less, even is something you could because of the condition that I'm talking about.
There's so many.
Well, there's an awful lot of them. Yeah, if you could maybe not necessarily the pickup truck, but the Model A, there's a lot of them. Pickup trucks are a little bit more rare, but again, about $10,000. Why not? If you're going to have a toy like that,
yeah,
I want it to be usable.
Sure.
I mean, that's something that's functional. Mm-hmm. So I think it'd be pretty cool to have something like that you just used as a work truck.
And it really would be a cool Sunday driver too, man.
It would. Yeah, it really would.
All right, number six for me. you can laugh if you want. We've talked about this before.
I probably will.
I would like a Class C recreational vehicle.
A classy recreation.
Class C, letter C.
Oh, class C.
Not classy. Yeah, I just want a classy one. Yeah.
I honestly thought you said a classy recreation.
Well, you know, there are several classes of RVs.
Yeah.
And this is one that I think I could comfortably live in. Mm-hmm. And all I would do is drive around North and South America, just back and forth on pretty much any route that we could imagine, and live out of it. You know, in this dream RV thing,
yeah.
It is my daily driver, but it's because it's also my house.
So. Would you park it next to your bus?
Next to what?
Next to your bus, your Bluebird bus.
Oh, you know, I think I might have to either start a caravan or a convoy, or I'll have to, I might have to give up the bus, man, because the RV's higher on the list.
Now, quickly refresh my memory. Is the Class C, is that the huge, huge one?
They're that's really the one that's not quite a retrofitted charter bus.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It's so like a step down from there.
Okay. Gotcha.
Where the, where you see that one part going over the cab. Mm-hmm. Where they, you know, might have a bed or storage or something.
Oh, sure.
It's like that.
Okay, got it. Where the kids are up there with their faces poked out the front and watching.
I have not planned on children in this scenario.
I see. Okay.
What does your dad do? He drives around in RV. That's his job.
Gotcha.
What's going on with you, man?
Number six?
Yes.
Again, shifted on my list because I didn't know where to put this, but I feel like it maybe should go higher. But
what
anyways,
is it?
A late 1960s Ford GT40.
Oh, yeah,
and there were some street cars that were made because so they could race. I'd also go for a current Ford GT, you know, but as long as it was painted in those Gulf colors, the blue and orange.
Yeah, yeah.
Which that will probably prompt people to say they either love this idea or hate it, because that seems to be a dividing factor, I guess, in a lot of people. You know, a lot of people's minds when you know they see that orange and blue, because they say, would you really pick that color if it wasn't made popular by you know the racers of the day? If there wasn't, you know, the history that goes along with it, would you really pick a light blue car with orange trim? Probably not. But
yeah,
it was made,
so.
You know, it's got race history. I think the versions that I've seen, the Gulf vehicles that I've seen look really cool. And, of course, I'd love the original,
mm-hmm.
but the Ford GT is also cool. Number six.
Number six.
That was number six.
Yeah, and now we're on number five for
you're on,
me.
Yeah, correct.
Which my number five is a 1934 convertible Packard coupe, the
a
V12.
Packard, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. This is talking about a big car then.
Mm-hmm.
Huge car.
Ridiculously.
Yeah. Why the fascination with Packard?
You know, for a long time historically, or not a long time, but for a number of years, Packard was synonymous with high-end, pretty high-quality vehicles. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about a very strange time in American history, you know, the Gilded Age, I guess. And then during the Depression, Packard still was manufacturing these things. And I don't know why, man. I guess they always just caught my attention. I love the look of it, mm-hmm. but I also love the, I don't know. It goes years back.
Kind of a
man.
Big gangster looking car with the running sideboards and you know all that.
Yeah, it's got cool. The sideboards.
Sure. Yeah. Big interior, huge like cabin interior almost.
Right.
Bench seats.
Mm-hmm.
Like like you're sitting on a couch kind of.
No place to park it.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but I agree. Packard's a cool car.
Yeah.
All right. My number five.
Yes, sir.
The Porsche Carrera GT, which is. Again, extremely high-end Porsche, but I do love the way this car looks. And it has just enough, you know, I'm a 911 fan, a huge 911 fan. It's got just enough 911 in it. It's like a longer back end. I mean, everybody pretty much knows what these look like mm-hmm. by now. But it's 600 horsepower. The problem is it's around $450,000 to $500,000. Very expensive car, but I think it's, I don't know, good-looking Porsche.
You know what, man? I will see you number five and raise you to my number four, which is in a completely different direction. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
An ambulance.
An ambulance? Really?
Yes.
Okay, now are you talking about a current ambulance, the big square box type ambulance? Or
you
are you
know
talking
what?
About?
I am talking about the big square box.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, okay. And here's why. I know they're ugly. I know, no matter what people tell you, a lot of times in terms of handling, I mean, these are service vehicles. These are not performance vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
But I really do love the idea of being able to help people. And, you know, I'm qualified for a couple of other things. I'm not – you look at this guy laughing at me.
I'm laughing because I can imagine you driving around helping people on your own, just kind of a good Samaritan in an ambulance.
I would try. Yeah,
yeah,
I would try.
Okay, all right.
I mean, okay, yes, fine. You got me. Of course I would use the sirens to get through red lights. But if someone was hurt, I would stop. I would help them, Scott.
Okay.
I really would.
Oh, I bet you would.
So that's it. That's my most idealistic
choice. You know, I thought
choice.
You were going to take this the angle of the, you know, like the Ghostbusters vehicle that was kind of the service vehicle, you know, the ambulance, ambulance hearse combination thing.
God, I should have done
which
that.
Which is kind of cool.
Can I change my answer?
No.
All right.
No, too late. But you know what? I like your version as well because utility.
Well, okay. What's up with you? What's going on?
My number four
yeah.
was originally number nine. I told you I mixed these around.
Oh,
so
wow.
My number four came way up. A 1929 Morgan Super Sports, which is a three-wheel car. And it's the one with the exposed engine in the front.
That's a really interesting choice, man.
The V-twin engine in the front.
Yeah.
I love these three-wheel cars. I really do. I like the micro cars. I like the mini cars, the bubble cars. The Morgan Super Sports car, the open cockpit, three-wheeler. Again,
yeah.
engine exposed in the front right between the two wheels. It had the tadpole configuration.
Right, right.
I think that car is beautiful. I there's nothing about it I don't like. I mean, I hear they're a handful to drive. I've never tried to drive one, but I'd really like to give it a shot.
Number nine to number four.
Number
huh?
four, yeah. I moved it up because
sure
I think it's significant enough that I would like to get something like this. Or maybe even, you know, in a lot of cases, I'd settle for a replica of this car because I just think I like the style of it. It doesn't have to be the original. I prefer it, but a replica would do fine.
All right, I'm going to do number three.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, for a long time, one of my all-time favorite cars, 1956 Chevy Bel Air, preferably red.
Very good choice.
You think so?
Yeah, you know what? I wanted a 57.
Yeah.
And, you know, high school type dream.
Oh,
know,
yeah.
That I
yeah.
wanted to have that car. And then, I don't know, somewhere along the way, I just kind of gave that one up. And I think that's when I shifted over to wanting the Model A. I've just had that stuck in my head ever since.
It's just the Bel Air is such a, especially that,
specific,
that those years.
Specifically the 56 you like? There's a 55, 56, 57
right,
that are all kind of cool. They have a little different look to the, each one.
Right, right.
57's a dramatic fins.
The 56 is one that actually is the model that, a lot of this stuff goes back through my family.
Mm-hmm.
This guy in my grandfather's town had one of those, and very small town. So we're all very aware of who has what or what happens. And I remember just seeing that car tool by, man.
Very good. Childhood memory.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Understood.
And they're beautiful inside. So
yeah.
The interiors of the Bel Air.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Very plush.
Mm-hmm.
All right. My number three.
Numero tres.
Number three. And I went for the top end here.
All right.
Probably not the one you think. Not the Bugatti.
Not
this is no, I went for the speed. I went for the SSC Ultimate Aero TT, which is the fastest car you can buy. Exactly, the fastest car. $654,000, 257 miles per hour, 0 to 60, 2.7 seconds. But the problem is there are only going to be about 25 of these produced. All that in the, you know, $650,000. That's another stumbling block for me.
Oh, whatever.
But
details.
Anyways, the Ultimate Aero TT, I thought, you know, world's fastest car officially at this point, so
is number
why
three?
Not? That's number three on the list. Yeah,
you've got my interest now. I'm wondering about these. Okay, all right. Well, I'll go with this one, and I saved this choice. and honestly, this is my dream. So you can get mad if you want, but my number two dream car is the Terrafugia.
Oh, Ben!
But it flies. I'd be the only one.
I'm a second away from standing up and walking out.
Okay. Well. Hold on a second, because we're just dreaming here.
I know, we're dreaming, yeah, okay.
And you know, there's a million, not a million, but there are dozens of reasons that I could never own one. The first one being that there's not one I could buy, and there probably never will be.
Okay.
So rest easy.
Okay. I wish there was video on us right now, because
I know.
I'm shaking my head, rubbing my forehead.
I
just can't believe your number two pick. Oh, that's okay. I know you're feeling on flying cars, and you know mine.
Well, they're not on your list. They're not on your
right.
list.
No, that's fine. That's fine. We can fight later again.
All right.
Number two. And this one I shifted from number one.
Wow.
This is one that I switched my number one and number two picks last minute. I've always had a love for this car. It's the, I don't think there's any more dramatic car on the road probably ever. The 1989 Lamborghini Countach 25th anniversary.
Oh, can I see the picture?
It's the one on top there.
They're still
around $110,000. I don't remember what they sold for originally, maybe $200,000, something like that. If you've ever seen one of these on the road, an authentic Lamborghini Countach, especially this version, the 25th anniversary, I don't think there's a more dramatic car on the road. I really don't. I mean, it made such a statement then, and even now, like I've seen them at car shows. Mm-hmm. There's one in Roswell, Georgia. I've seen it there. It's somewhere near there. It shows up to local events, you know, parking lot type events, and I've followed it on the road. Not you know, in a creepy way. I mean, I followed it, you know, just because, hey, I want to see where, you know, watch it drive a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's definitely an awesome car. I mean, it still is, even all these years later.
It really set, I think it set a standard that a lot of car manufacturers tried to emulate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is 21 years later we're talking mm-hmm. about this, and I think this car is still beautiful. I mean, it's definitely, in ways, it's dated, of course, but, you know, and they've updated their own design. You know, they've moved on, you know, beyond mm-hmm. this. They don't even make it anymore, but like I said, I don't think any car makes more of its presence known than this vehicle.
All right, amigo, I'm going to ask you for a big favor.
Okay.
My number one, unless you cheated and read my stuff, my number one,
I'm
confident, is going to blow your mind.
Okay.
I think you're not going to expect it. And you said the same thing. So which of us should go with our number one?
I've already said this one? What do you mean?
You didn't tell me. I don't know what your number
one is. Oh, yeah, you don't know what my number one is. Okay, I thought maybe it was a duplicate pick.
No, I'd like to close with mine. But if you want to close with yours.
Go ahead. No, I'll wing my number one here, and then you can close with yours.
Okay.
All right. So my number one pick, and again, this is number two. I just shifted it up. A Lotus 11. You ever seen a Lotus 11? Awesome car. I mean, take a look at it online for a Lotus 11.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that is a beautiful car. I love these cars. They're either an original or a Westfield 11 replica would be fine with me.
I'm fine with that.
Anything. Yeah, I mean, they're beautiful cars. They're you know, open cockpit, curved windshield, long front end, but it's really, really just a beautiful, smooth, sleek car.
Mm-hmm.
It has the headrest in the back that has kind of the aerodynamics for the helmet, if you're wearing a racing helmet, because it's really a race car. There are street versions of this, of course, you can buy. Like I mentioned, the Westfield 11 replica. I think an original right now is about $100,000 because they all have race history to them.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And about $30,000 is best guess on a replica right now because all the numbers are in pounds. And I did the conversion today, and I think it's about $30,000 U.S. dollars. Sort of reasonable, sort of not. You know, it's an expensive toy. Again, not a daily driver because you can't drive it in the rain, snow, looks like over a speed bump, anything like that. But it's a great-looking car. So Lotus 11, that's my number one pick.
That's an awesome pick, man.
Yeah, it's unusual. I didn't think anybody would expect that. I think everybody thought we'd go for...
Like the Bugatti or like that. No, I knew you were going to surprise me, but that's absolutely not what I thought.
I have extremely eclectic car interests. I mean, I love everything. So, I don't know. I thought Lotus 11 was a perfect pick for me. I've long time lusted after those cars.
And you're not looking back?
No.
I'm going to close out on something I think will be a little unexpected, Scott.
Okay.
My number one dream car, I'm very fortunate to say, is actually the 2006 Monte Carlo that I have right now.
Oh, come on.
No, I'm serious.
What?
Yeah.
That's your dream car?
No, hear me out, because I've spent a lot, you know, I've worked on it myself. I've spent a lot of time on it.
Yeah.
And look, I didn't cheat.
No, you didn't cheat.
And it really is. It means a lot to me because I, you know, I talk about it all the time.
Yeah.
Like it's my dog or my,
you do.
Or my kid
you do.
Or something.
I know you love that car.
Yeah, and so what can I say, man?
Been
with me through a lot of stuff. It's, you know, there's a lot of pollen here. I need to wash it. It's in a sorry state. It's got a cracked windshield, whatever. It's my car.
That's your number one pick.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I like it better than the flying car. I like it better than the RV.
Really?
Anything else.
Very good. All right. Well, that makes sense then.
I think that's
love the one you're with.
yeah. We should fade out on that for William.
Yeah.
Well, William, I hope that we satisfied your question there with our dream cars, which we had a lot of different reasons for, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think so. A lot of people talk about these kind of cars, and you know, like someday I want to own this, someday sure. I want to own that, and then it's nice to just kind of just have, I guess, a car fantasy and decide mm-hmm. what you want. You know, even if it's unattainable at this point, it's nice to talk about it and just kind of look into it and look at the photographs and dream a little bit. It's fun.
Well, Scott, why don't we ask, ask our listeners, you guys, if you think we're crazy, that's fine, because we're talking about our dream cars. But if you have one that you think is just super awesome, and how could we not dream about that car?
And we'll get those notes, I'm sure, just like we do with the movie cars, the television cars. Yeah. How could you not talk about this one? I can't believe you forgot that one.
Right.
Send them in. I don't know if we'll be able to respond to every single one of your responses, but I mean, I love looking at the cars that people mm-hmm. the people are interested in.
And we love to hear from you.
Exactly. No matter what that is, just send it in. If you've got an idea or a photograph or something that you want to send in to us, that's fine. We'd like to see them, because we're always interested in kind of what you're thinking out there.
And as always, guys, before we let you go, our email address is highspeedstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com. And be sure to check out the High Speed Stuff blog on the HowStuffWorks.com homepage.